Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're born in the trees and then you live out the park. But if you've got a little time, then come and spend it with us. Cause now you're listening to The Rough Cut.
Hello, 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 and welcome down to yet another episode of The Rough Cut Golf Podcast. And we are joined today by two splendid gentlemen, the Bryan brothers, Wes and George, at their golf course, Salina, which is in Colombia, near Colombia, just outside of the charming city of Colombia, which we've spent a few days in, and it's fantastic, to be honest with you. I've really enjoyed it.
West Colombia.
State of South Carolina.
The state of South Carolina.
And if I'll go and get us out there. If I do sound like I'm yelling, I'm just a loud
you
talker.
Bring that mic closer. You're good.
I don't know if they want it.
There you go. It's fine. It's fine, mate. You just be you, all right? You don't need to try and control yourself. This is the Rough Cut is very much just an open and honest and relaxed conversation between friends. There is no need to be anything but your wonderful self.
Got it.
And you can't be any more ready to get on a plane and get back home, huh?
I am mentally and physically shattered right now. I'm not going to lie. It's been over two weeks of playing golf pretty much every day, mm-hmm. which I know, obviously, everyone watching, everyone listening sounds, well, that's the dream life. And it is. I'm not going to argue with that. However, after a certain point, you can have too much of a good thing.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. You know, you sit down, like, eventually when you reach the end of that tub of ice cream, you're like, you know what? That's too much. I need a break.
I get it.
And you know what's funny is there are guys, it's not so common on the PGA Tour, but let's just go to the Corn Ferry Tour. To close out the year, they're guys that are playing 10 or 11 straight weeks, not going home.
With the travel.
With all the travel to really difficult places to get to.
Yeah. I mean, that's when, like, Oklahoma.
And you're going to, like, Pine. Let's recap your trip. Let's start from the time you got to the States.
So it's been into Myrtle Beach, where me and George were taking part in the qualifier, with mm-hmm. the Q, which, again, under strict embargo, we can't say what happened. If you're tuning into this podcast to try and get the result, that is not going to happen, I'm afraid. And then we went from there to Pinehurst to Harbour Town back to Pinehurst, and then down here. And I'm almost certain there's probably something else in the middle. Oh, we spent a night in Charlotte.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are really feeling for you right now, Pete.
I mean, listen, I think in these kind of situations that it's a tough life, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You know what? Someone's got to be the ninth best YouTube golf creator. Why not me?
That's pretty good. If you think about all the creators out there that are making golf videos, to be the ninth best one.
No, we can start this right now. I think you got Rick Shields. You've got Good. You've got, obviously,
Bob Does Sports.
Well, Grant Horvat must be mentioned before Bob Does Sports. And you got Bob Does Sports.
Yeah, I don't know. Before? To us, to me, it's before, but
No, but what I'm saying, this is in no necessarily particular order. We just needed to mention Grant Horvat first.
Mm.
And then you've got Peter Finch. You're a top fiver.
I thank you. I thank you for your kind words. I don't consider myself a top five. I want to put myself on the outside of the top five.
You're a humble guy, yeah.
Because it makes me work harder. Yeah, if I want to be in the top five, I got to like...
You got to want it bad.
Yeah, I got to want it.
You got to come to the States for multiple weeks.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you see the best players in the world, best golfers in the world.
Yeah.
You know, they're the top of the game because they grind and they work hard. You know what I mean? I'm not sure that I've got the commitment and the drive.
To get...
Oh, forgot about Bryson DeChambeau. You're six.
Of course, he is. You're six.
You're not in the top five.
He is a YouTuber now. We can rest that argument. He is a YouTuber now. That is true. And I think we should probably talk about like the reason that we're here, first of all. So we've been filming kind of videos at Salina Golf Club, which is a new old course, if that makes any sense. So this used to be, what, the Indian Reservation it used to be called?
Indian River Golf Club. Actually, fun fact, it was our dad's first ever, it opened in like 91, 92, and our dad was the first ever head pro here.
Right.
And it was his first ever head pro position too. And so he kind of started this golf course 33 years ago.
Wow.
And come full circle to now change it from Indian River, because last, you know, year and a half ago to Salina Golf Club, and him and us all being involved again. It's pretty wild full circle deal we got going here in West Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah,
and I was raised here in diapers.
Yep.
And I'll more than likely leave here in diapers as well.
Hey, it's probably not too long away, is it, either?
No.
You know, life comes at you quick, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And it is amazing. So if you're listening to this, then you can hop into YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, check out the Brian Bros channel, and exactly, there's a bit of an ongoing story there about what's been happening to this place. So when you first kind of took control of here, so it's obviously you guys, and like you've got kind of help, you've got investment to kind of get it all going. I was a little bit taken aback about what it looked like. I mean,
it was bad.
So like from my point of view, okay, going down and getting a coffee from the kitchen in the morning, that's like a big project for me. Like, I've got to plan that out. And I don't always execute it correctly. Like, something goes wrong. You know, I forget something. Milk, coffee, the cup, you know, whatever it's going to be. When you got this place and I saw it, I must admit, I was like, this is amazing. So if I was writing this out, I'd be like, this is amazing, dot, dot, dot. But what the actual hell have you just let yourselves in for?
Yeah.
That should have been the title to the first video.
What have we done?
Maybe we need to go change the title. I like
that
title.
Yeah, we're going to do some re-optimization after this. So the opportunity came up to get this place. So what were the first steps to try and turn it into a golf club that you wanted, and that would kind of like fit your kind of vision, because it's a big, big project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you know, starting back when we were looking at this place and the opportunity to even, you know, come into conversation with, hey, let's get this piece of land or this golf course and turn it into something awesome. We knew we played here growing up, and we knew that the layout and the design was good enough to have like to be a good golf course in Columbia, South Carolina. And we were like, hey, what if we just made this the most pristine version of this place? And if you did that, it would turn into, in my opinion, one of the best courses in Columbia. Layout wise, it's really good and fun. It's challenging in some spots, easy in some spots. But you make good greens, good fairways, it'd be, I feel, one of the best here. And so that was like what we led off with. And then we go, you know, like, hey, you know, hey, Greg.
Well, yeah, at that point, when I came out here, because it had been, obviously, I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old last time I was out here, so I didn't really remember much. George was a little bit older. And when I came out and looked at it, one, I couldn't even believe it was a golf course. So when I was riding around, we saw carts and ditches, no grass really on property, greens that were not puttable.
Fairway's not playable.
Yeah, there was one guy that was the head pro, the superintendent, the cart boy, the general manager, everything. And then there was like another guy on staff. I think they had 6 members. And I couldn't believe occasionally when we'd come out, there would be people out that had paid money to play golf at the golf course. So,
ouch, that's a bit of an indictment.
But when I was riding around, I could see the bones of a very, very good golf course. And I was like, it was on the card maybe at 6,500 yards or so. And we started marching through trees and looking at aerial shots of what the property had. And I was like, I think we could lengthen it up. We could just recontour some of the fairways. The greens are already pretty good complexes. I was like, this is a championship golf course. And to have that vision at that point, I didn't believe it.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I didn't.
But I saw it. And so the next step, I was like, I also look in my bank account and I know what the golf course is going to cost. I was like, well, we could get the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably put lipstick on the pig.
We could have got new carts.
Yeah. And we could have figured out how to
No, we couldn't have.
But we could have turned it into something that was playable and fun and accessible.
You could have given it a good old go.
We could have. But as far as turning it into a championship golf course, I said, I think that's going to take a whole lot more than what I got.
Mm.
And I don't want to go somewhere and borrow. So I'm just going to put some feelers out there and see if there's anybody that would be interested in taking this ridiculous leap of faith.
And crazy enough, and kind of had on our same like wild dreaming mind that we had, and that's, you know, when we reach out to Greg.
So I reached out. My dad had been giving golf lessons to this guy, and again, shared a passion for the game of golf. Obviously extremely successful, a well-to-do family here in Columbia. And I sat down and I was like, you're going to think I'm crazy. I've got this idea and I don't know how much it's going to cost. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't even know the slightest bit about construction projects or figuring out, like you said, making a cup of coffee is hard for me, trying to figure out permits and construction stuff and all that. No clue. But I knew that this guy had built a lot of businesses and restaurants and land and all this other stuff. And so I kind of presented the idea to him, and literally 10 minutes in, he was like, let's do it. And I was like, I don't know how much it's going to cost. And he didn't either at the time, but he shared the same vision. We thought it was going to start out to be just a couple million, few million dollar investment just to get it up and going, and then we could figure it out. Turns out at this point, I think Greg is 15 and counting in the project.
Wow. That's huge, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And again, the market, South Carolina obviously is known for its golf. Columbia is the capital of our state, and around here, we just don't have good golf. If you go over to Aiken, Augusta area, there's a lot of great golf. You go up to Greenville, there's a lot of great golf. You go to Myrtle Beach, Charleston, Hilton Head, great golf. Middle of the state, there's just a big void.
Mm.
And I know that there's people that love the game around here, but there's just no unbelievable golf courses.
There's a lot of good. Like Wood Creek, when we grew up playing there, good golf. Like Spring Valley back in the day, good. Columbia Country Club. But like I said,
There's not that standout kind of venue that everyone says, you want to play around here. That's the place you go to. I mean, it's a huge investment, but if there is something like a gap in the market, if that's the right way of kind of saying it, and there is the need for that golf course, then people are going to come here. And obviously you guys have got a fantastic following, but a great way to tell people about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always the biggest problem, is it? If you start a new business, like, nobody's going to know unless you can get it out there into public domain. And, mm-hmm. you know, you guys have got that that ability. And obviously, you know, Greg, having a chat to him yesterday, I've got a feeling that he probably knows what he's doing.
If he doesn't know what he's doing, he's very good at finding people who know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
That's the best way, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe when we came in yesterday, because in my mind, obviously, this is, and I've said it a few times now, it's the golf course that YouTube is building, and to come in and see all the work going on. That in my head, I had this like romantic notion that I'd pull up and like I'd wave. I said, "Oh, where's?" And he's on a mower. He's doing a bit of the green. And I was like, "Oh, George, how are you?" He's painted a bit of the clubhouse. I come in here and the first thing I see is a 90-foot bridge, which
75
it's gonna get bigger every time I tell this story. This 220-foot bridge, which is going across the lake to link up like a back nine holes, which I've just kind of seen kind of in passing, like we've been doing all the filming on the front nine. You got construction crews, you got people laying like literally country wide amounts of turf all over the place. There's people, just there's activity going on everywhere. And there's just you two on the putting green kind of waving at me. And I'm like, this is massive. This is a huge, like, it's a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I probably get a little bit more, obviously, because most of the people who do stuff on YouTube, they're all quite either individuals or small groups. And they all do their own thing. But it's all kind of like, all the courses are already there. And all the projects that we do are very much about kind of what we're doing. And it's all quite small scale, generally. Like, this is massive. Is it scary or is it exciting?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, from the beginning, we, you know, like Wes said, we had this vision, and we know in Columbia, South Carolina, my dad, from his golf academy, from our upbringing, from just being in Columbia, being as successful golfers we were, we kind of had a name in Columbia outside of YouTube golf. Mm. And so we knew that, like, in the Columbia area, you know, we might be able to, like, we could probably have people join and be a part of this because they, you know, knew us. But then you take it a step further. Everyone on, you know, our brand, our following on the internet, how big it is. We knew we could have some impact. But again, we think we do, but you never really know until, hey, here's a golf course that we're getting involved with. So it's definitely, it was pretty scary for me because what if it just, you know, we think we have this influence and this reach, and then,
what if it flops?
Two people sign up to be a member.
It's scary, isn't it? Because like everything that we do, certainly kind of YouTube wise, it's all at the point of people watching it. It's all free.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can hop onto YouTube or kind of social, watch the videos, and yeah, that's the interaction. But when it gets to the point where you say, okay, now what we actually want, if you fancy it, is to come join and be a member. And here's the credit card machine. You want to just put it in there for a little bit? Come on. You know you want to. You enjoy the videos, don't you? Come on.
Yeah. How about a shirt and a hat and a ball marker?
Oh, you want a ball marker? Okay, there we go. He's racking up now, boys.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, the void that we saw in Columbia golf-wise, especially for people that were aspiring to play professionally, like I just saw a pattern. When I moved to Augusta after school, there was great practice facilities, great golf courses, access to further my golf career there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we started having kids and needed to move back to Columbia. There just wasn't that good training ground for people wanting to play professionally. And so what I would see is the University of South Carolina is here. People would come from out of town to come to university, is what y'all would call it over there. Mm-hmm. They would come to school, they would put in their 4 years, and then if they wanted to chase it professionally, they would move back to where they were from, or move to Sea Island, or move wherever. I was like, people that come into the University of South Carolina, I want to give them a reason. If they want to chase it professionally, I want to have something good enough for them to want to stay and chase their career out here. Feel like they can train and prepare for the highest level of golf and not have to go somewhere to do that. Right. So that was part of the reason. The other one is and I'm sure you have faced it plenty of times where you are trying to find access to create content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so knowing that that void was out there for content creators, just because there's not a lot of golf clubs and be like, hey, we're going to show up with a film crew and we're going to try and lock down your course for a little bit. And they'd be like, nah, we're good. Go find somewhere else to do it. So we wanted to make sure that there was access for content creators like Peter, like the ones we mentioned to start out the podcast.
Mm-hmm. It is good. I mean, something like that, this is obviously quite niche for what we're doing, but if you phone up a golf course, it's a lot better now than it used to be. But if you say, okay, you know, if I've got space to come, want to kind of come down and we want to film, and then it's always like, I don't understand, like, what are you filming? Like, why? And then you have to explain it all. Like, to be able to, like, phone up somewhere like here and say, oh, we want to come out, we want to do this. And they'd be like, okay, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a few tea times, make yourself at home and have fun.
But that, I mean, it's, again, for just from the golf club side of things, if it works out like that and that does become the case, you've got your kind of spread and your audience that you can advertise it through. But then all of a sudden, like Selena can be spread amongst all these other kind of creators' channels and just get the name even more out there. It's it will work.
As Michael Scott would say, it's a win-win-win.
A win-win-win.
I know the UK has a version of their office.
Yeah, that's not good, though.
That's a,
no offense.
That's not worth discussing on the
podcast.
That's
pretty good. No, that's a good debate, though. I've only watched a few episodes of the UK version, and it's...
I would say that it's very different kind of humor, but I'd probably say it's one of the imports that's gone like from UK to US, where the US is probably better than the UK version.
I've heard people say the UK, they like the UK version better.
The UK...
There's no way.
That's what I...
There's no way that exists.
So, have you watched any of the UK version?
Yeah, I have.
So, the UK version is very funny, but it's funny in the kind of way where you want to hide behind the couch and kind of peek over to watch it. Because some of it is so awkward. It's like, oh, it's so cringe, but it's brilliant. Like The Office of the US is just, it's just funny. It's got a bit of cringe, but it's done in a very different way. Yeah, honestly, I think that's probably one of the big imports.
Yeah, I didn't expect we would get to that topic here, but let's get back on task.
If you guys want to meander off and just talk about other stuff, well, that's kind of what this is about as well.
Yeah, no, it's a rough cut.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't need to be all serious about golf courses and, you know.
Well, it is fun to, we don't talk about Selena much, but we don't ever get to talk about it much, and so it's fun to, just recount the, this journey that we're going on, but also tell the story, because it is very unique and neat. We're the faces of it, but at the same time, there's so many people that are pulling this off. We're the least important of any of this.
We're just users. Let's be honest. We use the property.
It is fascinating because everyone at the beginning, you bought a golf course, and we're part of this thing. But Greg saw that our value was not in the dollars that we could bring to the table. Mm. It was our influence, our reach. And like for someone to see that and equate that as important, is just probably more important or more valuable than us given $1 million and not having our brand do anything with it. He's just like, hey, I know what y'all mean to this, and your value is more than dollars. And I see that. Whereas most businessmen are like, how much can you give us? How much can you...
It's going to take 3 main feed posts. It's going to take 6 story posts. It's going to take 2 YouTube integrations, 30 seconds a piece, and here are your bullet points.
No, I'm talking about like dollars.
Just giving an example.
And so it's cool because that's why that's deep down we know this is going to be a success, because we have a guy that believes, how we can help, but also we've seen what he does in the area business-wise, and marry the two together, and I think we have something pretty cool cooking here in Colombia.
It's amazing. It's such a good... It's not luck, because obviously kind of went out to kind of search for this guy and kind of did the work to kind of get him involved. But if you do find someone like that, that's such a win.
Yeah.
So cool.
No. And before we move on, if you're watching this internationally and you are interested in becoming a member, for $200 a year, you can join this golf club.
International membership
is now available. All you got to do is send a email to membership@selenagolfclub.com. We'll get back to you. We also will send you a hat, a shirt, and a ball marker. $200 a year. Go ahead. All right, now let's move on, Pete.
Wow, unbelievable. is it okay though if on my membership card I have 001? Can I be number one?
No, we're member number one. We share that, but
it's international member.
Oh, yeah. International member one, yes, and yours is comped. Yours is 100% free.
Let's stop moving. You hear the crackle? That is you.
Well, I see him moving.
Well, that's
I think that wire might be a bit funky. It's fine. Like all the crackly just stuff stay. we can kind of cut around.
Well, no, just no dramas. Be still, Wesley. You got this. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it.
No, I don't think
so. All right.
if we can get then. So I don't want to be number one.
Why not? International member number one?
Rick Shields can be international member number one. You can be number two.
Can you make sure that six other people join before me so I can be 007? That'd be fantastic. Ooh.
Yeah, so if we get six of you guys internationally that join.
So all we need is like six of that top 10 to join. And then I can be number seven. Then should I can officially be number seven.
Should we get all of your hats, all your Selena hats with 007?
Oh my God, please, yes.
Stitched on it?
That'd be amazing. You know what? This is taking on a life of its own. Talking about using this place as a base for practice and to kind of like improve golf. I mean, where are you guys at kind of with your golf at the moment? Because I know from over the last couple of years, George, you've been, and we'll get to this a little bit more, you've been absolutely kind of smashing it. Mm-hmm. Whereas you're kind of like coming back from, I mean, are you fully kind of fit, healed, healthy now?
Physically, healthy. Mentally and emotionally at the moment, not super healed.
No.
Coming off a miscut at Puerto Rico, although that was my first miscut in a while, I think. Actually found some really good form to end last year. Made a lot of cuts, played well. And then obviously the last couple days, I don't know if the content's come out. It's we're struggling a little bit at the moment, but, yeah,
it's okay.
Physically, I'm good. Mentally and emotionally scarred, to say the least.
Listen, if you play golf long enough, it's going to happen. Like there ain't no one walking around a golf course that doesn't have scar tissue. I'm pretty sure it sets in after your first round.
Yeah, I've just accepted it. And that's kind of what's pushing me just gently away from competitive golf on the PGA Tour and morphing me more into a YouTube mm-hmm. golfer, because I still find the joy in the scars on YouTube. I don't find the joy in the scars as I once did on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, that's understandable. Missing cuts as well. I mean, obviously, I've not played anywhere near that kind of level, but
not yet, Pete.
I mean, let's be honest. I don't really think it's going to happen.
Quest for the all it takes is three good rounds, legit, or one decent round. In two solid rounds.
Yeah.
And you're playing in the open.
Right. But what people don't understand is that's probably, you're signing up to more than likely lose about 10 grand. When you play professionally and you go and you miss the cut, you just can go ahead and say, you know what, that $10,000 that was sitting in my bank account, maybe some weeks it could be five, some weeks it could be more. But you're like, that money that's sitting in the account, I don't need it. So I'm just going to kind of throw it away. I'm actually going to light it on fire. I'm never going to see it again. And I don't like money. I'm just going to just burn it. People don't see that side of professional golf. They see people winning, holding trophies, making millions and millions of dollars. Like, God, that's the lifestyle. They don't understand what a lot of us go through on a weekly basis.
Well, you've lived that lifestyle. I lit all of my professional money on fire, never recouped it.
But then you made the cut in the Butterfield Bermuda Championship.
Oh, yeah, that. But I'm talking about
and
fire.
Then gave it away.
Which was, by the way, literally, I think, probably the best PGA Tour event this year.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Completely agree.
Apart from the fact that you were hardly ever in the broadcast.
Hardly ever. I think you...
One. I got one shot.
You got one shot?
And you got one shot, too. I was so annoyed. I just wanted to see myself on TV, you know?
It was one of the weirdest things about kind of watching that championship. Because surely someone in the TV truck or the production said... Ah, right. So that's what all that chat has been about, literally all over social media.
The entire internet stopped to keep up with how George was playing. But then you have the broadcast.
Literally completely passed them by.
And I played pretty decent, too. That's like I was shooting 78. And just, hey, here's George, another bogey from George. I was like, I was playing good, you know?
Yeah. So, and, well, both either. Well, certainly the second round. Wow, that was a... That was a tie.
Yeah, it was. It was quite the time. I mean, I knew George was inside the cut line, and I was well outside of it. And every now and again, you just got to dig deep.
Yeah. I guess we can just go and get into the Butterfield Bermuda. I played in a PGA Tour event last fall.
They saw it.
Well, I mean, some people maybe not. I know Peter did, but like...
I think most people invested kind of like in the social media golf space would have seen that.
Yeah,
would have heard about it.
Got a sponsor exemption, played as my first, you know, I've won my whole life to play in a PGA Tour event. And I'm like, what do I really want this leading up to it? Like, I was so nervous. I didn't know, like, what if I shoot 80-80? Like, I'm going to be filming it. It's going to be everywhere. And I'm like, oh, do I want this? And then I'm like, yeah, I want this. So I'm like nervous, excited. Well, shoot, 69 the first round. Get off, I birdie my first two holes on the PGA Tour. And I'm like,
bang.
What? Like, I waited 35 years for this, and this is like, I actually did it? And then you settle in, you're like, well, shoot, like, let's play some good golf.
Let's just do it. Let's
and
go
so,
for it.
You know, I play solid the first day, shoot 69, made some mistakes, but at the same time, it was just a solid round of golf. I'm like, wow, I shot in 60s, my first PGA Tour event. Like, this is awesome. But I was like, oh, I'm probably going to make a couple bogeys tomorrow, shoot even, have a respectable
miscut.
Respectable miscut.
Just a YouTuber.
And then I start on the back nine. I start on the front. No, I start on the back. I start on the back nine. Made two bogeys on two of the par threes that are very tough. And get two over, even for the tournament. I'm like, yeah, that's good. There,
okay,
there it is.
That's fine.
But
okay.
In the back of my mind, because I knew like I played well leading up to it, I was like, there's a par five, number 17. It's downwind. You shoot a few under on the back nine, you never know. Well, I make an eagle on 17 to get back to even for the day, two under for the tournament. And then I'm like, huh.
Just a few birdies away from playing the weekend.
Well, then, yeah, you make a birdie on two. You're like, okay, I'm three under. The cut's probably going to be five under. Make a sick birdie on five. And I'm like, huh, so that's four under now for the tournament. And now I'm like, I got four holes to go. Make a birdie. Birdie hole number, my 16th hole, almost make eagle. I'm like, oh gosh, I think I'm on the cut line.
It's happening. It's yeah. happening.
And I sit on that 17th hole. It's a par three, end of the wind. All you see is the Atlantic Ocean. Wind's 20 miles. I'm like, just get it on grass in front of the green. I don't just get it in front of on grass. And I'm so nervous because I knew like par my way. I'm probably making the cut. Hit it just short of the green. Use my 54 to chip it to a 2 feet and make the putt. And I'm like, okay. Bomb a drive on 18.
No, then you see me trouncing down the fairway, like, coming off God. A birdie on 18.
Sprinting
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
So this is funny. Speaking of your production crew, I birdie the last hole, go in, sign my card, and George is in the group behind me.
Yeah.
Keep in mind. So, I mean, this is a quick process. Mm. I go in there. I come back. I just want to get to the 17th green, 18th tee box as quick as possible. There's a card up there. A guy that's clearly done for the day, part of the production team, won't even give me a ride back down. He was like, oh, I got to check in with blah, blah, blah. And I wait for like 10 seconds. I'm like, dude, just let me take your cart. Not happening. He like basically just like barricades me from doing it. So, and I'm with some of the PGA Tour social people. They want to see me watching George for another one of their little clips they're going to put out. And they're trying to explain, like, hey, not happening. So anyway, full sprint down there.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was all downhill.
It was
got
very,
to him on
very
the tee
down
balls down to watch him stripe a tee ball. And all
I mean, yeah.
Okay,
was,
you can get it to the house from here with a wedge.
Yeah,
and
a wedge
putts.
Into a bat. Like, you know, I played very conservative to make par because I knew, like, 5-under is going to have a chance. 4-under has no chance. 6-under is...
5-under was going to make the cut.
It was really cool because, A, I'd played well leading up to that PGA Tour event. I got through two stages of Q school, lost in a playoff in a Monday qualifier a couple months prior. And so I knew my game was good, but like, how good is it against PGA Tour players in a PGA Tour event, in an environment that I haven't been into many years?
Yeah, that's the key thing, like how you react in a new environment, because it is just like leading up to, obviously you must have been running through what was going to happen in your mind a thousand times before you stepped on that first tee.
Yeah.
And it's good that you just managed to kind of like settle in and play. So I'm not going to say play so well, but just play your game, because like you're a good golfer, and it doesn't often happen like that. Yeah. Under pressure, things can start to go a bit awry, can't they? But it's so good that you managed to actually make the cut. Well, both of you, and just it was exciting to watch.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah, 69, 68, 69, and then I think shot 72 or one in the final round. So yeah, four good rounds on the PGA Tour. Yeah, it was just really cool because, like you said, that first tee box, you don't know how nervous you're going to be. I knew I was going to be more nervous than I've ever been in my life. But you don't know what that's going to feel like until, you know, I'm walking into the ball and I felt a level of nervous I've never felt. And I'm like, oh my God. Like it felt
not
like
even on the big break, George. That was
no. This one was different. This one, legitimately, it felt like I was flying, and it felt like everything was going fast.
I saw a unicorn, and slow
at the same time. And I was watching myself out of body, and I'm just like, pull it back and swing hard and see what happens. No, it was a four iron, like into a.
Oh, that's even worse. Oh,
there's like, a hosel on a four iron.
If you don't think I thought about shanking it out of bounds the first hole,
God,
you're crazy.
I couldn't think of anything worse. Like, I just struggled to get the ball on the tee to start with. And then just thinking like, oh, yeah, like a nice safe four iron. No.
The hardest club in the bag to hit.
Even if I have to grip this driver down on the shaft and like put a half swing on it, I'm using the biggest head possible.
Yeah, so... PGA Tour, yeah. Well, one for one and cuts made.
What did you get for where you finished, like money-wise on it?
Because it was like $14,000. It was like $8,000 more. I thought last place was like $7,000 or $8,000. And I was like, wow, that's sick. That's last place money. Let's
nice
go.
4 days.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about this and like Wes, you can kind of fill us in on this a bit as well. It's obviously when Scotty won the Arnold Palmer last week, it's like $4 million first prize. How does that work? So you win $1 million, say, on the PGA Tour. What is the process? Does it just like appear in your bank account?
Wednesday morning,
it goes in.
Sometimes I've seen it on Tuesday, but
no way.
Wednesday morning, it just shows up. And I had that moment, and I was like, "Whoa!"
Well, you made the mistake of getting it direct deposited. Leading into the tournament, I was like, if I make the cut in a PGA Tour event, they're going to write me a check and I'm going to see the physical check saying, you know, George Bryan from PGA Tour. So I guarantee you everyone in that field selected direct deposit when they're signing up. But I was like, nope, check.
I want the physical bit of paper that shows me.
When I made the cut, I'm like, I'm going to get a check from the PGA Tour. So I direct deposit because it was low enough where I could direct deposit it on my phone. And I have the check and I'm going to frame it. With the scorecard. Oh, no, I don't have the scorecard, but I have a caddy bib and some other things. But I wanted to have...
Stole the caddy bib. What a guy you are. We may or may not. Harrison did the same thing at Puerto Rico last week. They had the caddy dispo. And again, PGA Tour, if you're watching this, don't care. Find me. Bill me for the caddy bib. My brother-in-law went and caddied for me. He's like, hey, can I get the bib? I was like, yeah, take it. He goes, really?
I said,
screw those guys. Take the bib, stuff it in the bag.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to chase you across the Puerto Rican border to get it back.
You never know with those guys.
To cling on to everything that they can.
That's great.
Wow, love that. That's really cool. Yeah, because I always like wondered how it all kind of works. Because obviously it's insane amounts of money that these guys are kind of like playing for now, just to keep track of it. I suppose if you are a Scotty and you're winning that much money,
No, when you get there, you don't even look.
It's just kind of like, I'm just right, next tournament, next
while
week.
While we're on the money talk, Pete, how do you do your YouTube money? Do you direct deposit it? Do you get the check sent?
YouTube angels just kind of send it to me. I don't really know. I route it through.
How are your AdSense dollars?
Yeah, how much money do you make?
Yeah. You're asking how much.
Oh, that's public information.
Yeah.
You know how much money I make off YouTube? Not enough.
Isn't it fascinating though? Like the...
So many people ask, how many times do you get that question? How do you make money on YouTube?
This is what I do. Okay. So, because normally when I get asked, it's normally like on a golf course playing an event or like just playing with some members. And they always say like, oh, so how does it work? Like, you know, how do you get paid? Do YouTube pay you? Yeah, I said, no, you run ads on your video, you get paid a certain amount with the number of views and the number of ads. Yeah. And then I said, all right, well, how much does it work out as? And I was saying, well, you know, it's not too bad. It works out pretty well. So like, and I change it a little bit, but it's generally the same thing. So it's like, yeah, so normally it works out. I think I've had 2 million views last month and I get paid. Yeah, it's about 10 cents per view. So yeah, it's doing okay. And then I'll just leave it. Because I know in their head, they're calculating like, he's got 2 million views and it's 10 cents a view. Hang on. And you just seem like short out about how much money like I've meant to have made on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I do vary a little bit depending how gullible they are. Sometimes I'm like, it's
about $1 a view.
Yeah, it's about $10 per, 75 views or something like that. So it's fine. No, it's not too bad. and I always got to do it. I just, it's fine.
I need to start going that route.
You want to know what my go-to route is?
Go on.
What I do is I'll be like, It's basically performance based. And so when we do well, we make money. If we put out bad stuff, we don't make money. But I'm not really interested in talking about how do you make money? Can you tell me about like your last 2 weeks and your performance and what your checks look like?
They
never want to go into it. I'm like, how do you feel it's appropriate to ask me how much I make? And I can't ask you how much you make or how you get paid. And
It is such a fascinating, that is the first. So, good videos this way. How much do you make? It's like, is it a good? How much you make on this video? I'm like, I'm not.
It kind of depends. We started to do it with the got a coach channel, Swing Quest channel as well. And I've not really done it in a while, but we started to do like a basically like an inside kind of report and like publish like what we were doing. Like not hide anything, just not done it in a while. But as a bit of a case study, because I'm sure you guys get the question all the time about like people wanting to start YouTube channels. So we started to do that to kind of like explain the behind the scenes stuff. Need to get back onto it actually. Kind of not done that in ages. But YouTube, if you're watching, pay us more money, please. But I want to go to Bermuda. Looks lovely.
Hey, really? Maybe we
know a guy.
You know the whole island by now.
They like content creators.
Honestly, like you guys, it's the one thing over here that I've noticed. Obviously, the last few days have been it's not accurate how it happens all the time. The amount of like contacts and the amount of people involved in golf over here is just ridiculous.
It's silly.
It's very small. It's a small niche in the grand, like golf is a small thing in the world, but then within the golf community, I feel like it gets smaller and you just,
it opens huge doors. Yeah. Like the doors that golf open are much, much bigger than any other sport or any other hobby or whatever you want to call it. Like that's the beautiful part about golf that I really like.
Cool. No, I love that. And the thing with, we'll kind of do some Q&As. We'll do some Q&As, but quite a few different ones, but quite about similar subjects, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I can kind of round them up into two, kind of on a similar kind of thing we've just been chatting about. So YouTube golf is obviously getting more and more popular now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like, what are your guys' kind of plans going into kind of next few years? And I don't know, where do you see it going? Because it's interesting, like you've done content for actually a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was obviously the trick shot stuff and Big Break and all the rest of it. But in the last 3 years seems to have been like the turning point for you guys as far as making YouTube stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what are the plans moving forward? And where do you think it's going to go generally?
I think for us, it's always been a cool part of our story. What makes us unique is like, we're both professional golfers chasing. Now, mine is very limited. I'll do it sparingly, tournament here or there, but there's something inside of me that I want to play well in professional tournaments.
Mm.
Do I want to make it my career? Not really, but I do want to succeed and play well. And so that's been a part of our story. Wesley's professional golf journey on the PGA Tour, documenting that, my tournament play. And so that's a piece. Us having fun on the golf course, competing against each other, that's a piece. Bringing in creators like yourself and Grant and Mike and all and our whole crew to film it and get personalities together, that's a piece. And so we always have like three or four different things that we knew we could help, or we could tell the story in different ways, whatever. But I think then we're going to keep doing that because I enjoy when we're filming with you guys. it's fun for me, but we create good content. It's competitive. Like we, you know, we play good golf and it's people can enjoy and like know they're going to get pretty high quality golf most of the time. Good matches.
Most of the time.
And then they're going to see like our journeys to like through pro golf and what that looks like, that, you know, try to give access to what it looks like for a guy on the PGA Tour that the PGA Tour is not going to document and show. And so giving insight to like
shots fired,
well, did, you know what it looks like. And
have you seen you must have seen your cameo on the new Full Swing season.
Yeah. You want to know a funny story about that? So Chad Mum reaches out. He goes, "Hey, you got a clip that we want to use." It's like, yeah, that's fine. My content's obviously more expensive than you're probably hoping. And he goes, "Okay, well, I'll send you over to our licensing department." And he's being like dead serious. And I said, "Dude, I don't need to, we can just hash this out man to man." He said, "All right, well, what do you want?" I said, "I don't want any of your money." I said, "Chad, all I want you to do is produce, film, edit. I want you to do a full-blown Brian Bros edit for us on our YouTube channel, and that's it." He said, "Deal."
No, really?
How about that?
Yeah, I will say, it looks like you're just taking a video, like a selfie video. I wanted, like, I was hoping, oh, it's going to be the Twitch. Like,
yeah, like, I mean, they screwed it up. But
or, like, show it at Brian Bros or some kind of, like, thing that lets people know, oh, this was filmed on one of our social platforms, not just, like, Wesley holding a camera.
Yeah.
But anyway, get back to the final. I think that we're heading where we want to go is somehow, get all of us together competing in like a competitive aspect, where we're filming and doing more tournament style things. Because again, the PGA Tour, I mean, what everyone's seeing is like YouTube golf numbers are, I mean, I'd say duking it out with PGA Tour numbers, and people are watching videos on YouTube probably more than they are PGA Tour events.
Yeah, the numbers that watch that pick here. Yeah, the numbers that kind of we.
Come on, Pete.
Come on. There we go.
You got it.
There we go. Yeah, the numbers that we've seen. I mean, our direct comparison, kind of in the UK, is like Sky Sports. Do everything, and like you have the big events, you have the majors, you've got the Ryder Cup, the players to an extent. But outside those events, the number of people watching these golf events is so low.
Yeah.
In comparison to what YouTube is doing. Now, it's slightly different in the respects that if somebody turns on a tour event, they might sit down and watch that for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like YouTube golf, unless you're kind of going between channels, generally people aren't watching it for that long.
For sure.
But the actual number of views is so weighted now towards kind of YouTube, social.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of it, and this is what I love this. It's all, everything's digitized.
Mm-hmm.
You can see all the numbers. Because like back in the day, if you were a kind of a TV company or like certainly magazine executive, you could turn around and say, okay, so this is the golf. It's getting shown in 3 million households, which is simply just the number of people who have a subscription. Doesn't mean it's being watched. You know, this is that. And then we're going to charge you this. And people are like, yeah, okay. Because there was no other option. And now all of a sudden, because everyone's in streaming, everything's digitized, people can see the numbers.
Yep.
Everyone's going, oh, well, the attention isn't on this tour golf at the moment. Certainly not to the extent it was. Like, where are people watching? Oh, it's over here on YouTube.
You know, I did a rough dot, just honestly to prove a point to some of the people that were arguing about this amongst the PGA Tour. And so I said, every week the PGA Tour is putting out 150 of their best players to compete in an event. I said, so I just did it. I just did it like for the top 20. I said, if we want to go to the top 150 YouTube golf creators and what they're putting out on a weekly basis, I was like, here's a rough estimate of what this number is. And here's a rough estimate of what this number is, because we know y'all's numbers. Mm. Y'all can obviously see our numbers on YouTube. I was like,
it's not really close.
It's not. It's not even close.
Obviously, we've got a vested interest in this. Right. You know, we're very much on the side of, you know, YouTube golf. You know, let's march through the streets. Let's march on PGA Tour headquarters. But at the same time, like, it is, you definitely sense this shift. I mean, obviously the Q event that kind of we did in Myrtle Beach, the Butterfield kind of Bermuda, obviously, that was a bit of a forerunner in many respects. This kind of thing is just going to keep happening and the attention is going to shift over. One of the questions was, when are we going to see this YouTube championship and this tour? When are people actually going to come together? I mean, as mentioned, I struggle with the coffee. Yeah. I will be there and I will offer this horrendous face to whatever is going to happen. But I could be involved a bit in the organization, but it's definitely not my strong point. Like, what's it going to take to get this together, do we think?
I think it's close. I mean, it's closer and farther away, but I mean, I think it's going to happen. It has to. Just see, like, it's a natural progression. It's like, why not make something like a PJ Tour structured within YouTubers? Like, people are going to watch and, like, make it competitive. There's people out there with way more money than us and way smarter than us that could see, like, oh, wow, this might actually be a good idea to, like, try to form something where we get the best YouTubers, not necessarily skill-wise, but just biggest platform, skill, mix it all together and put something on the internet for people to watch that, like, you bring the power of all of us together in one place. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to happen. And I think it's going to take people, all the creators getting on board and like seeing the good and potential in YouTube golf as a whole, not, oh, I want this just because I want Brian Bros Golf to make money. Because that's the power. It's like, if we all can come together and say, like, hey, I'm going to lay down my personal differences and, like, I want YouTube golf to win. And I think we have something awesome and I want to show the world that we have something awesome. So let's get together and create it and make it happen.
We should unionize.
Yeah,
we should.
Come on, comrades. Let's unionize.
It's a lot like the golf course project that we just did.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, George and I, like, we had a vision. Like, we wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. We had no means to figure it out, like, how to get it done. Mm. So as long as everybody comes together with a vision, and it takes us someone like a Greg Middleton to say, hey, you know what? I actually believe in it. Like, it doesn't make sense for us to do all this, but on the back end, we know that this is, if all you're doing is competing for eyeballs and watch time and engagement, like, that's what we can offer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and so it just takes the right person or the right fit or the right organization or whatever to pull it all together.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's just like pulling everyone together. Because I think once, because the beauty of it is like, we all get it. Like, so if we all are together and we are kind of pushing in the same direction, it could be huge.
Yeah.
But it does just take that kind of outside party and someone with the vision to bring it together, which is going to be key.
It also, in like, to George's point, I think it's going to take a level of humility for all creators to be able to kind of lay down. Yeah. You're going to have to lay down a little bit.
Mm. Which is easier than it sounds, I would say.
Yeah.
Easier?
Harder than it sounds.
There we go.
Within this space, my apologies.
Yeah.
Certainly, yeah.
I'm laid down, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I am fully.
I'm good at laying down.
I'm fully laid.
I'm horizontal. Yeah, I'm horizontal right now. I'm on a sun lounger. I've got my pina colada in hand, and I'm just ready.
Margarita.
Okay. I think kind of like rounded up most of the kind of questions.
I did see some good ones that I wanted to talk about.
Are you talking about on Twitter?
I love Twitter. Pete's questions, and I am a scourer.
Chris says, did anyone ever tell Wesley Bryan to shorten his backswing on chipping?
that's a good question, because, like, you have a unique chipping style, so I think just that's a good question. It could help some people out there that might have a unique swing that, you got to swing like this to be successful. It's a good question.
So Pete got to see some of the long, flowy backswings in action the last couple of days.
I am so smitten, honestly. but I really honestly feel like playing with you guys over the last few days, I've actually... this happens when you do play with good players, because you pick up things that they do that you don't necessarily do. But honestly, like, watching you kind of chip and, like, the approach to it, I've genuinely picked up some stuff that I'm going to use this year.
And there's also a lot of things, like, I would never necessarily teach anybody to chip the way that I chip. It just works for me. Like, it's all about how the club is being delivered And for me, some of the things that I do with swing path and the height of hands and all that stuff, and then I control it with the speed and tempo. I don't work on a clock. I'm more of a field player than a technical side. So I think it's more important than just figuring out what you got to do to deliver the club into the golf ball repeatably.
That makes perfect sense.
Fantrax Fox says, would George give up his YouTube career in exchange for a PGA Tour card? If you would have asked me this 3 years ago, no, 4 years ago, I would have said, yeah, duh. I want to make YouTube videos to further my golf career. But once I learned that Mills was pregnant and I was going to have my first kid, I was like, you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to chase, say a Korn Ferry Tour, I have to play 10 weeks in a row. I don't want to do that. I want to be able to spend time with my family. And YouTube is allowing me, now we're doing a lot more traveling now in the last couple of years, but it's like very sporadic and I'm able to like have an impact with golf or in the golf world, work on my game, play in tournaments here and there and compete at a decently high level, but also not gone week in, week out, grinding, feeling like I need to practice 5 days a week, whatever. And so I don't think, I definitely wouldn't, but I still want to like, who knows, maybe in 2 or 3 years, that'll change. So I'm going to keep my game ready as best I can. To, if I do get opportunities, I want to be able to like play well and hold my own. So that's a pretty good question. Cause most people think, oh yeah, you're stupid for not like, of course you'd play on the PGA Tour. I'm like, well, I think
it depends levels as well. Like, so certainly I've been lucky enough to kind of do a fair bit of work, mostly like DP World Tour stuff and like travel around and kind of see what actually kind of goes on behind the scenes. You kind of alluded to this a little bit before, Wes, about you've got your guys, you've got your Schefflers, you've got your Rorys. Like these guys they're obviously absolutely excellent at golf. Mm-hmm. Like, but they are consistently excellent and they're up at the top of the leaderboards. That is, if you said, yeah, would you give up YouTube for that? Probably. You know, it's quite fun to play like that most weeks.
Yeah.
And bag $4 million if you win. But you've got a whole kind of collection of just excellent, fantastic golfers who are scrapping like week to week to make the cuts, to desperately like not lose their card. And actually seeing that like up close, it's not fun. It looks kind of soul destroying at times.
It really is. And there's a lot of people watching this probably have full-time jobs. How many people would sign up for a 1 year contract with a job if you do not perform and you do not hit your numbers that are very, very high? We're talking about you got to do some of your best work to keep your job. How many people would sign up for a 1 year job
and
then consistently repeat to try and do that?
And there's no guarantee, by the way. Like you could work the hardest you've ever worked, but the nature of the job you're doing,
zero job security.
It might actually just hate you and like not give you any breaks.
Oh, it does. Trust me. They're done it.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I signed a club deal out of college, $30,000 a year from Titleist.
Which was a nice deal.
Yeah.
At the
time. By the time, like for that level, like I was one of the top college players. And I'm like, dude, $30,000 a year? Like, this is...
He was buying me new shoes and ping pong
tables. When I tell you, I had, after year three, I played so, like, I had some other, I had a few other fundings. No, I had one other sponsor. It was very small. And played decent in some tournaments. I mean, I must have lost, on average, $40,000 a year for three straight years. But I worked, you know, practiced very hard, played well at times. But it's just like, man... Like, yeah, it was, I mean, the best job in the world, you're playing golf, whatever, but at the same time, like, I just lost that much money for three straight years as my job.
It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. Like, it really doesn't look fun, and if that was the case, then no, you'd much rather do YouTube, because you can control things so much more.
Right. And then the other comparison would be, let's say you go into a big corporation, and there's 4,000 jobs available. If you are one of the top 100 people, you get paid. If you're one of the top 100 performers, you get paid. If you're one of the bottom 3,900 employees, not only do you not get paid for your whole year of work, you actually lose a substantial amount of money.
But it's you'll have a good time on the face of it.
But there's not a lot of people that was not. So the pro golf thing, it is, when it's good, it's great.
Yeah.
When it's bad, I mean, it is the pits.
But at the same time, but then on the flip side of that, it's like, yeah, it stinks, but you're still playing golf and chasing a dream for a living, which you can't really put dollar signs. And that's one thing I've always, Dad did a great job of, like, not associating golf as a job and more of, like, you know, just something that you're kind of gifted. Yeah.
And it kind of, like, it can put you into place. It's obviously, like, you know, everyone who's turned pro at some point and said, oh, you know, I want to play on tour. I want to be that person. And, you know, I was the same growing up as a junior. I said, oh, this would be amazing. It'd be great. All the rest of it, obviously, you know, was pretty crap. So it didn't work out. But at the same time, it was like chasing that dream allows you to then fall into the game and do different things. And without that kind of initial dream and without chasing that kind of goal, wouldn't really be here now.
Yeah, for sure.
So you never really know what's gonna work out. Any other kind of questions that you got there, bud? Or
what was the other one I saw? Hello.
I've never got anyone to do their own Q&A before. This is great. I'm
sorry. You can't come up with any questions.
So laid back right now. This is great.
Meat sport. Digging into the differences between George and Wesley's college careers would be good. This one's interesting because, like, if you don't know us prior to 2020 or 2021, like, oh, what's the PGA Tour? Obviously, he was better growing up than George. Like, George just wasn't quite as good. But I had far better college career than Wesley. 3-time All-American. He did have, I think he had more wins than I did, but, like, for the most part, played average to below average in his mind for the fair amount of it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so, but, me coming out of college, like, I was one of the probably five best players my graduating class, senior year of college in the country. Oh, this guy's going to make it. And it just never happened, you know? And so it's fascinating because golf can do that. You can look, I look at like our All-American plaques, like first, second, third team guys that are, you know, Ricky Fowler's,
Billy Horschel, Webb Simpson's,
Harris English, like legit studs. And then I also look on those same first team, second team lists of guys that dominated college that were just,
you've never heard of.
And it's just so fascinating that golf, where Wesley, definitely in the,
I never got one of those plaques, in case y'all are wondering.
I have absolutely no idea what All American means, by the way.
Just what the top collegiate players. So think of the All American teams, 10 on first team, 10 on second, 10 on third. And so, like, basically the top 30 players in college are on these All American teams.
Okay.
And so I was just one of the top 30 or 40 players every year in college, where he was top 200, maybe.
There was a couple years I had that were okay. And, I mean, people watching this, they probably watched the swing golf clubs. There's one guy that looks like he's superiorly talented at swinging a golf club and hitting a golf ball, and that's George.
Yeah, I don't want to blow smoke up George's bottom right now, but his swing at the moment is actually...
It's solid.
It's actually disgusting. It's so... Pete. Playing against him is so dispiriting. Because it's like...
He doesn't hit bad shots.
It's just going to be right fairway... Green, will he hold the putt? Yes, no, cool.
Yeah, very boring golf.
I give you a little more to look at.
You gave the camera guys a little bit more work to do.
But no, that is the fact. It's just the what I love about golf, though. It's like you can be a guy. I mean, Zach Johnson's a great example. He was like the sixth best player on a awful golf team.
Goes on to win multiple majors and
he's gonna be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And like that just shows you, like, you don't, you never know when you're gonna peak. So if you do have that dream and you act and you work hard, then like you just never know where, like, when it's gonna click. And so it's like, it's also the frustrating thing. It's like in other sports, basketball, football, if you're one of the best in college, you're gonna get drafted, you're gonna get paid. And if it don't pan out, well,
at least you got paid.
Yeah. Whereas golf, like, you number one player in the country. Go to pro, you don't pan out. Well, okay, you're.
It's also with golf as well. It's got a really long. It's got a lot of longevity as well.
Correct.
Like if you're coming out of college, and again, I'm not kind of completely up with the college system in the US, but if you come out of college in basketball, you are basically almost at your peak as far as like physicality goes, right there, aren't you? And then you've got like what, 10 years maybe?
Max.
Kind of at the top.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of done. So you've got that time period. Golf is incredibly annoying because you could be slaving away at it, just destroying yourself, like not playing that great. And then you can hit a couple of good shots and you're like, I've waited 20 years for this. 20 years I've waited to hit that shot.
I'm prime example.
Is that what you were doing to me yesterday, Pete? You waited 20 years for that?
I mean, I must admit, I was...
That's a good one.
I was prepping for this match. Like, I've been prepping for it for years. Every night before I close my eyes, I'm like, it will happen. And then just like visualizing those shots.
Yeah, mine was 14 years. Like I said, I graduated college and then teed up in a PGA Tour event 14 years later.
Yeah. You never know. In golf, like you say, you can play it for such a long time. And then you've even got that little bit of hope right at the end. So, well, you know, seniors tour, get a 50.
Lord help me if I'm still swinging a club at 50.
I am.
Competitively. Now, with the boys, different story.
Yeah.
Grinding it out, trying to go to Monday qualifiers for the Champions Tour, just cannot be in the deck of cards for me.
Monday qualifiers for the Champions
Tour. Dude,
there's grinders
you,
there's out there,
there's
man.
There's grinders.
Wow.
They're Q school,
only 5 people get through. And if I'm still trying to chase it at that point, Pete, I'm giving you the license to come and just take me out.
Just take you out back.
Just take me out.
Take you to the pasture.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wes ain't coming back, kids. No,
you ain't going to be seeing him around these parts anymore.
Yeah, I've took him out.
Dadgum, it's time to end this podcast. These stupid cords, Pete.
These wires are kind of literally burning. guys, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having us at Salina as well. I'm excited for you guys to see the videos that we've got. I'm really excited for it to have like a full year of like growth and like come around like spring next year, just be beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's the next year, like the back nine will be done here probably by the summer. Give that another, like, it'll, yeah, the next fall, next spring, next like early summer, it'll be like a real golf course.
Just gotta wait for the grass to grow. Why doesn't it grow quicker? Yeah,
well, the good news is you can come back whenever you want, Pete, and you don't even have to call us. Listen, I want to show up one day and I just want to see you.
You're a member.
Grinding.
You know? Members have that privilege.
As member 007, I'll have that on my car parking space. Appreciate that. Guys, thank you so much for watching. If you are on YouTube, thank you so much for listening. If this is coming into your ears on your favorite podcast provider, make sure you subscribe to this channel. Make sure you hop over, check out the Brian Bros and subscribe to their YouTube, but also their multifarious social media platforms as well. They are even on a thing called Twitch. Right, guys. We'll see you next time.
See you guys. Thanks, Pete.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.